A lot has been said. Thank the Lord for that. Really, probably not a whole lot I need to say. I rejoice in what God's doing amongst the young people.
Amen.
There's three factors for what God is doing. One, He's using the vitality of youth. Because frankly, most of the older folks in church just quit caring a long time ago. That's just across the board. Doesn't matter what church it is. So He has pleased Him to raise up these young people. Secondly, the influence of the Youth Week in Black Creek, New York. God has used it greatly. I'm not speaking out of sorts or out of turn, just stating facts. The young people that have gone there have been greatly affected.
Amen.
There's some I begged to go. But again, like I said, a lot of the older folks in church just quit a long time ago. They don't really see a need. They say something like, well, our children are just as good going to church here. It's not about going to church. It's about being where God is.
Amen.
And how much better for them to be if God met with us sometime in March, June, November, a random Sunday night, a random Sunday morning. Put your children under preaching. But what a profit a man is to gain the whole world. I know people that say, well, my children have this obligation, this obligation, this obligation. Those same people never talk about this obligation. Never. Peter told me he's willing to walk away from everything. I didn't question it at all. I believed exactly what he was saying. I've done that since I've been saved. Not before I got saved. Probably about to do it again. Just everything we know and everything we're familiar with and everything we're comfortable with. One of the greatest crutches I hear parents use, well, our children just, you know, they're just backwards, they don't mingle, they don't do this, they don't do this. Again, that's one of the biggest crutches parents use.
That's right.
It's amazing how children get with other children. There's one I knew particularly, said, well, you know, the daughter's just really, really backwards. And I said, not around boys, she's not.
Funny how that works.
Sure. Amen.
Amen.
The problem is they select who they can interact with.
Yeah.
They select that one or two people that they can have an influence on. And we don't see that as problematic, but I do. David served his own generation. I said after he had served his own generation, by the will of God, lay down to sleep. And he saw corruption. He served his own generation. I'm twice Timothy's age. Twice. You know what I'm doing? I'm handing him a baton. I'm handing Peter a baton. Handing O'Brien a baton. I said, hey, you all take these young people now. But there's no more excuses. There's no more excuses. You know how much pride is involved in being shy and backwards.
Yeah, absolutely.
Amen.
Amen. You know, people, sometimes people think I'm too loud in church. Every time Abby came up here to bring up the phone, I was going to run with her, but I realized she was just doing the phone. I didn't run. I said, well, if she was going to run the aisles, I wasn't sure. I should have just run anyway.
Amen.
But you realize, I used to be the most obnoxious guy at the sporting event. So nothing's changed when it came to salvation. He just made it new. Amen. He took all that foolishness and he bound it up in this thing of the practice of organized religion. And when I saw it, I thought it stunk. I said, well, we'll just do things a little different. Then it got to be around Brother Herbert Williams, and he did things a whole lot different. Amen. He was prone to dump the offering out of the altar, put the offering plate in his head, and dance a jig. Don't let that bother you. Some of your parents just need to get your children under the preacher.
Amen.
Get them where God is. Quit propping them up with excuse. I've invested in these families. I've invested in every one of these young people in this church. I know every one of you by name. Prayer. Every single one of you, I pray by name. Except the Sorella boys, I don't pray for them. Don't like them, never did.
Amen.
I got a pair of shoes one time, the boy stole them immediately. It's a long story. Those boys are young. They were just little when I first met them and their daddy. Down at the church house in Farmersville. God put them on my heart. I remember every family in here meeting them. Every young person in here meeting them. Ryan used to be crazy. The only sane thing about Ryan is he had an older sister. I invest in young people.
Yeah.
Poured my lives into them. My wife came along. It was almost weird to her. She was of the whole, the training, the mindset, well, you know, you kind of separate. There's age gaps and things like that. That's never bothered me. If there's an eating contest, I'm going to enter it. Watermelon seed spitting contest, I'm going to enter it. Running the race, I'm going to watch it. I mean, I've laid in bed wishing I couldn't get up because I said, you know what, I'm going to go out there and play with those young people. People say, oh, McVay's immature, McVay's this, McVay's that, blah, blah, blah. That never bothered me one bit. But now I got my own. And I need somebody to preach to them. I need somebody to invest in them. I need somebody to hold their feet to the fire. Some of you that I've invested in, I hope you hold my children's feet to the fire someday. I hope some of you walk up to them and say, what'd you get out of the service? You know why? Because they're going to need that too.
Amen.
I don't pride. Boy, you young people. That's one of the shame things being young. So proud. So proud. Every little thing you do, proud. You say, well, what does that have to do with being young? Oh, nothing. I was just using you as an example. I mean, old people that way too.
Yeah.
Amen. Come look at my new car. Check this out. Look what I got. I got a new gun. Old people, same way. God could reduce some of you until you realize you're nothing.
Amen.
Let God use your life.
Hallelujah.
They've preached everything out of the Bible. But they didn't preach 1 Chronicles, first couple chapters, so I'm going to go there.
All right.
Just ratification. Yeah. I will be brief. It's probably the quickest you'll ever hear me preach. In 1 Chronicles, look at chapter 2. And the pastor this morning talking about was struggling with words. Probably should ask him to read this for us. Let's just start in, let's start down in verse 28. And the sons of Onam were Shammai and Jada, and the sons of Shammai, Nadab and Abishur. And the name of the wife of Abishur was Abihail, and she bare him Abdon and Molid. Anybody here sing about maybe having children or getting married and having children? Good list of names here. Sons of Nadab, Seled, and Apaim. And Seled died without children. The sons of The funny thing is, you'll go to churches and people go, I never heard that name before. The sons of Abiam, Ishi. The sons of Ishi, Shishan. The children of Shishan, Alihi. The sons of Jada, the brother of Shemai, Jether and Jonathan. Jether died without children. The sons of Jonathan, Peleth and Zaza. These are the sons of Jeremiah. Now go back to verse 31, the children of Shishan. And names a daughter, Ally. But verse 34 says Shishan had no sons, but daughters. And Shishan had a servant, an Egyptian, whose name was Jarah. And Shishan gave his daughter to Jarah, his servant, to wife. And she bare him Attai. And Attai begat Nathan, Nathan begat Zabus, Zabus begat Ephlal. And Ephlal begat Obed, and Obed begat Jehu. Now there's some names we're familiar with, huh? Great lineage, great heritage. This is something the Lord gave me a long time ago. I'm digging back in the old stuff. This is old school Tim McVeigh. He had a servant. The Word of God said this, he gave his daughter to Jarah, his servant, to wife. What would it take for a servant to marry the heir's daughter? The Bible called Moses a servant of God, called Paul a servant of God, David a servant of God, Caleb a servant of God, Joshua the servant of God, Jude was called a servant of God. Peter was called a servant of God. Abraham was called a servant of God. Isaac, Jacob, both called servants of God. Phoebe was called a servant of God. Rahab was called a servant of God. We also speak of the bondman. Eight times the Word of God speaks of the bondman down in Egypt. See, what's a bondman? It's a little bit different than a servant. A bondman has a little bit of freedom. How much freedom? He can marry the daughter of his master. That's how much freedom he has. An Egyptian man, that's all the Bible says about him. But he became the heir to his master. Leviticus 30 or 25, I'm going to go through these quick. Leviticus 25, look at a couple of spiritual laws. We'll start in verse 39. The Word of God said in Leviticus 25, 39, if thy brother that dwelleth by thee be waxen poor, that means he's getting worse and worse off when it comes to being poor. He's not getting more wealth, he's not getting less poor, he's growing more poor. That's the waxing. And be sold unto thee, thou shalt not compel him to serve as a bond servant, but as a hired servant. Now here's the key. He says his brother, speaking of someone in Israel, not an Egyptian, in Israel, as an hired servant and as a sojourner, he shall be with thee and shall serve thee unto the year of Jubilee. And then shall he depart from thee, but he and his children with him, and shall return unto his own family, and unto the possession of his father shall he return. For they are my servants, which I brought forth out of the land of Egypt, children of Israel. They shall not be sold as bondmen. This is not Shishan. It's not his servant. No, why? Jarah was an Egyptian. He said, thou shalt not rule over him with rigor, but shall fear thy God. Both thy bondmen and thy bondmaids, which thou shalt have, shall be of the heathen that are round about you. Of them shall you buy bondmen and bondmaids. Now, this tells us a little bit more of Jarah. He's the son of a heathen. You say, why is that? Because he's become a servant to Shishan, who's in the lineage, 1 Chronicles chapter 2, of Israel. And he's his servant. He's an Egyptian. He was bought as a bond servant because he's not of Israel. Moreover, the children of the strangers that be sojourned among you, of them shall you buy, and of their families that are with you, which they begat in your land, they shall be your possession. And ye shall take them as an inheritance for your children after you. It is a problem. He had no sons. To inherit them for a possession, they shall be your bondmen forever. But over your brethren, the children of Israel, you shall not rule one over another with rigor. So again, the law of God. It's not, it doesn't say slavery, just to clarify that for you liberals. It says a bondman. Very clearly, he's an Egyptian. Very clearly, he's a bond servant. He's not a hired servant. He is bound to that family. His children are bound to that family. Shishan can do with him as he pleases. Shishan can use him as he pleases in that bondservant contract, if you will. But Leviticus 18 and verse 3. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein you dwelt, you shall you not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall you not do. Neither shall you walk in their ordinances. Ye shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. So he gives clear instruction. He's not bound by the laws of Egypt anymore. He's not bound by the laws of his family anymore. He's a bond servant. He's been bought. He belongs to Shechem. He's an Egyptian. Leviticus 19 and verse 33. And if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, you shall not vex him. But the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you. And thou shalt love him as thyself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Does that include a bond servant? No, he's not a stranger, he's a servant. But can he love him? Let me just jump ahead a little bit. When he's no longer his servant, he's going to love him in the land as one freeborn when he's no longer in servitude. Exodus chapter 12. In verse 43, the law of the stranger again, the law of the servant. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover, there shall no stranger eat thereof. But every man's servant that is bought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. A foreigner and an hired servant shall not eat thereof. Now notice this. Every man's servant that is bought for money, a price, when he is circumcised, the cutting away of the deadness of the flesh, that mark of the blood upon his manhood. By the way, there's a picture there also of marriage. We'll leave that. We'll leave that very top shelf. Somebody that need to know. A woman gives herself to that man. It's marked to God. And that's not an unclean thing. That's for the glory of God. And that servant is now circumcised. That deadness of his flesh has been cut away. He now may participate in the Passover. He now may partake, even though he's a servant. He may come and offer, and he come and participate and come and be in the Passover. Why? Because he's been circumcised according to the law of God. He can eat thereof. A foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall you break a bone thereof. That's John 19:36, and of course we know in two different places in the Psalms. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. When a stranger shall sojourn with you, will keep the Passover to the Lord. Let all his males be circumcised, and let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land. For no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. One law shall be to him that is homeborn, and unto the stranger that sojourneth among you. Thus did all the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded, and Moses and Aaron, so did they. Laws of servitude. The law concerning a servant. The law concerning a bond servant. So Shechem had no sons. But the Bible said this, but he had a servant. Why did God say much about that? Two verses. Why did God give us those details? We only know two things about him. He gave to his wife. He gave to his daughter to him. And he was an Egyptian. What would it take to give his daughter to his servant, an Egyptian? What would it take? Circumcision? Freedom, a willingness, a a desire. Having watched his master and having watched his conduct, and one day saying, you know, I believe I need to be circumcised. I'd like to participate in that Passover lamb. And no doubt with great rejoicing, Shishan himself would cut away the deadness of the flesh. And now an Egyptian, born in sin, born in bondage, could participate in the Passover. The book of Proverbs, again, spiritual precept now, not law. Proverbs 14, verse 35. The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causeth shame. Why would you give your daughter to an Egyptian servant? Because you're a wise servant. You're not a fool. You've conducted yourself with wisdom. And by the way, there's nothing wiser than taking that circumcision knife and walking in that table spread, those bitter herbs, the unleavened bread, and that Passover lamb. There's nothing greater. But he's a wise servant. Though he's an Egyptian. Though he's a bond servant. Proverbs 17 in verse 2 tells us this. A wise servant shall have rule over a son that causes shame. Shishan had no son. But then it says it shall have part of the inheritance among the brethren. Who is Shishan going to give his inheritance to? His wise servant. What is the price for being a wise servant? He inherited all things. There's nothing left to question. It's all his. He's very wise. He's doing the bidding of his master. Proverbs 29. In verse 19, a servant will not be corrected by words, for though he understand, he will not answer. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There's more hope of a fool than him. So he explains why he doesn't answer with words. He's a servant. He has no say. Why? Because if he's hasty with his words, he'll be a fool. So he stops. He thinks. He's going to ponder what is said to him by his master. But he's not going to be corrected by words. Why? He's a servant. He does what a servant does. He that delicately bringeth up his servant from a child shall have him become his son at the length. How delicate. Circumcise him. Teaching the commandments of God, teaching the laws of God, showing him to walk in the ways of God. Now, if you follow the transition, and really the timing, if you look at this, most likely Shishan would have come out of Egypt land. And I can't prove that. But if he did, I want you to remember this. If he did, he died in the wilderness. And I said, if he did, but Jared didn't. Why, he was a servant. He was not of Israel. What would the inheritance, bear with me on this. Let's just say hypothetically, and I don't say that in the pulpit very often. But what if he came out of Egypt with Shishan, and Shishan died in the wilderness? What does he inherit? A land? A house that he built not? Vineyards that he didn't prune? Can I say this? Orchards, in our linguistics of today, that he didn't plant? He would have gone into that land of promise because of the promise of God, because he was a wise servant. And he received the inheritance of that great man, Shishak. So when you look at Obed and you look at Jehu, you look at these men of later on in the Old Testament, you realize there was a great lineage. There was a great heritage. Although the seed of Shishan did not continue through a son, his inheritance continued in his lineage. Proverbs chapter 30. And verse 10. Accuse not a servant unto his master, lest he curse thee, and thou be found guilty. Why don't you accuse a servant? Because he's not serving you. He's serving his master. You know why we don't raise our lips and our mouths against the other people of God that we love? Because they're just doing the best they can to serve their master. He said, lest he curse me. And guess what? You're guilty. Jara, servant. The servant of God. Let's go back to 2 Chronicles 9. Verse 4. I just saw in verse 2. Sheba has come and she's seen all the fame of Solomon. She's proved him with hard questions. And Solomon told her all her questions. There's nothing hid from Solomon, which he told her not. And the queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon in the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sin of his servants, and the attendants of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers also, and their apparel, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Now I want you to notice this. The sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers. What did she take notice of? It wasn't Solomon in all his finery. It wasn't Solomon in all his splendor. What did she notice? His servants. There was something different about them. She even noticed, and you just say amen on this, ladies, help me out, the apparel of his cupbearers. There was something different. They were dressed in a manner that she had never seen. You just go ahead and help me out. Where some of these little girls get tired, weary of dressing the way mom and dad tell them to dress. You realize that one of these days, you ever see Jesus Christ, you'll be glad to dress the way you've been taught to dress.
Amen.
Because you'll realize it's not about fashion, it's not about being seen. It's about them seeing Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And they notice the apparel of his cupbearers and their apparel and his ascent by which he went from the house of the Lord. There was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thine acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not their words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. Behold, the one half of the greatness of thy wisdom was not told me, for thou exceedest the fame that I heard. And look at verse 7. Happy are thy men, and happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom. You know something I noticed about Jara years ago? When Shishan gave his daughter to him to wife, he became the inheritor of all things. You know what changed in his life? He became freeborn. Just as Lincoln did in 63, so God did for Jara. He was no longer in bondage, no longer a servant. He was the inheritor. Happy servants. When you serve, do you serve with rigor? Do you serve with gladness? Do you serve with joy? Do you serve with peace? Are you happy in your service? Can I say, you know, people make different, I guess, levels, varying comments of ministry and the hardship and the difficulty. And can I say this without hyperbole, with nothing phony or false? I never noticed that. Everybody else notices that. But I really never have. It's not hard living for God.
Amen.
Do we get tired? Yes, but I got tired working a job.
Amen.
You have personal conflict? Yes, but I used to have personal conflict at work.
Amen.
You said, you ever feel like quitting? No. But I used to quit my job every day. I never one time thought about quitting this job. You ever get frustrated and pull your hair out? Yeah, I'm a father. But you know something else I've learned? When I can attend the table of my King, I'm happy.
Amen.
When He prepares that table before me in the presence of mine enemies, there's great joy, there's happiness. What God's prepared for us today, there was great happiness. To you young people, this is a young people's meeting. You ever tried servitude? Doing something for somebody else? One of the things I've noticed, the whole weirdness thing. And some of you don't know what that is, my wife knows exactly what that is. Throw at the young people, look at that whole weirdness thing, the whole awkward thing, that weirdness. I can't do that. That'd be weird. You know when you become a servant? When nothing's weird.
That's right.
Amen.
You see it, it's right to do, and you do it.
Just don't matter anymore.
Amen.
It's not weird. See, well, I couldn't get up there and sing in front of people. Servant would. You see, I couldn't get up and walk around the church and march in design. The servant lead the march.
Amen.
Amen. You see, I couldn't. A servant doesn't even consider that. He says, what does my master want?
Right.
You know, I say this and it's done-ish. I can smell more pork. That's the word for that. Send a crew to Cape Verde last year. Watch these pictures come in kind of throughout the day in Portugal. Boy, they get there early in the morning. It's sunny. They're happy. I mean, everybody's smiling. They're walking. You know, afternoon, they're not really walking hills anymore. Evening, they're sitting in cafes. And they're on the airplane. There's a picture of them there at the airport, Cape Verde. They're all standing there like this. Now, I would make fun of that because I would have been dead in Portugal, just letting you know. There are times and points to say, you know, is it worth all this? But you know something that's a marvel to me, one by one, God's been picking those young ladies off.
Oh, amen. Hallelujah.
You see, that's coincidence. No, it's not.
Hallelujah.
Some of you know, you went over there for a social event. And God put you in a little bit of servitude. Babysitting. Eating octopus. A little bit of hardship. God used that in your life. Some of you have never served anybody. Why don't you start with your mom and dad? Mom, what could I do for you? Dad, what can we do? Can I help you out? It'd be good for young people to go to the pastor and say, Pastor, what's something I could do? And they say, well, get on your hands and knees and scrub the porta potty every Wednesday after we're done. All the little boys that can't aim and all the old men that can't aim. You say, no, really, what can I do? I got a bad knee, I can't, sorry. Servitude. Why? There's an inheritance. He gave his daughter to an Egyptian man who was his servant. The Word of God said this of him. Let's go back to 1 Chronicles 2. I'm done. But Brian, I'm not going to say anything else. If you want to close out, that'll be fine. I'm not going to say anything else. He had a servant, verse 34, an Egyptian. His name was Jarha. And Shishan gave his daughter to Jarha's servant to wife. And she bare him Attai. What seed is he bearing? The seed of his master. When you read the story of on down, you read the story of Obed-Edom, Jehu, great men of God. You realize one day there was a servant. They gave everything he had to his master. And God honored them.